Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text was the epistle lesson you heard a few moments ago. He felt the draft past his face. He felt it on his hands. The window was shut tight. And as he was sitting there, he began to understand that what he felt was time itself as it passed by. And he literally recognized them, all these tiny seconds, one as tepid as the other, but fast. Heaven knows where they were rushing. The lines come from a poem from Rainer Maria Rilke, an Austrian poet born in Prague. Poet from early in this century. I was going to say earlier, but then by this point in time, what isn't earlier in this century anymore? Perhaps it's a function of age. We're all getting older. We all feel older. It just seems as though we shouldn't be this far along as we are. But it's almost too late to say this is the 90s. And all the Cassandra talk about the Y2K problem, notwithstanding, it hardly seems as though we're on the verge of a new millennium. But it is so. The window is shut, and yet we feel it, as Rilke said, we feel the rush of time streaming past, screaming past, rushing over us, and then gone. How long can it go on? Couldn't it go on indefinitely? Doomsday clocks aside, who really is talking about an end, even as the calendar nears 2000? The end is near crowd is really a splinter group, fanatic street corner prophets with their low-tech cardboard signs in a high-tech age. They're harmless for the most part. They add color, texture to the urban landscape. But who really gets that insistent about the end? We're more worried about making the transition so that all the computers hold. Our epistle lesson might be part of the problem. Not what Paul said, but when he said it, nearly two millennia ago. And then he cites Isaiah, a prophet even older. Now is the acceptable time, as we all learn the famous words, now is the day of salvation. How long? Nobody knows, save God himself. But rather than blunt the issue, that ought to underscore Paul's point. Tempus fugit, time flies. Jesus said the church would expand, and his disciples would go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And given their worldview, once the line is crossed from Palestine out into the Gentile environs, rather like a New Yorker crossing the Hudson over to New Jersey, they are in the uttermost parts. And we are still there. This is still the end times, no matter what the calendar says, no matter how many times we've torn off the page in the years intervening. No wonder Paul sounds urgent, writing to the Corinthians, writing in a sense again this morning. But it's not quite all a matter of this image. It is not simply sands on the hourglass, the tiny seconds that rush past. It's also a matter of God and his message in motion that engages us. Paul knew it in those early years. We even have a better perspective now looking back across history. God does not necessarily stand in one place, so to speak. He comes with a message, and then he can well move on. In one of his Kirchenpostille dealing with the text, Luther calls this a fahrende Platzregen. That is, one of these traveling spot showers. It's the kind of thing we know here in the Midwest, the cloud that rolls in and dumps on the sun-parched summer landscape, drenching things, bringing relief for the moment. For the moment, that's the key. For this is not something to take for granted, as if it's inevitable, but rather it's like the cloud that at the start looks no bigger than a man's hand off on the horizon. We aren't faced with leaden skies, dark from one side to the other, but with the little cloud that grows and rolls in, bringing cooling rain. And then it may move on, It can pour on one side of the street and not another. We don't know where, we don't know when, but we are thankful and we make the best of it. That's also part of Paul's message. Time and place are not ours to choose, but God has chosen to make his salvation known. Lay hold for all your worth. Lay hold. History tells us that God may not wait forever. For Luther reminds his readers that when people despise the word, God will take it on elsewhere. The rain moves on. So important is this that Paul has done everything he can do to pave the way, humanly speaking. He has, with God's help, endured all sorts of things: beatings, prison, riots, sleepless nights, hunger. He's been called everything in the book. Don't worry about him. He's doing fine. And that's not finally the point. He's doing his best to get out of the way. The troubles aren't important. He doesn't want to look like a martyr. And the hardships aren't recounted in an effort to flash his credentials somehow. Look how I am set upon. Look how the people oppose me. Surely that's because I'm Orthodox. Well, if anybody ever had a claim to be Orthodox, and if anybody really deserved a little FaceTime, it's the Apostle Paul. But he's not in it for the pub. He's not in it for his 15 minutes. He isn't interested in a PR blitz. He's done his best to get out of the way, to sacrifice without being noticed, so that the gospel shines, the gospel alone. Sola gratia shines as the subject of his message, because it is only sola gratia as means by which this salvation comes. Time is racing past. The day of salvation is here and now, so lay hold, lest the moment pass. The gospel rain reigns. R-E-I-G-N-S. The Corinthians hardly deserved to have the moment, but God in his grace gave it to them nonetheless, even as he gave them his Son, gave them his means of grace, even as he gives them on and on to the church through the ages, one moment to the next, pouring down and then some. Of ourselves, we deserve no better, and yet it rains on us as well. How long? Who knows? Leon Battista Alberti, a 15th century humanist from Renaissance florist, was widely hailed as a success at whatever he tried. Art, architecture, literature, called the first universal genius. He accomplished everything, it seemed. Asked what he wanted most, he said he wanted to stand at the end of time so he could look back over the course of history and understand the total sweep of events, to make sense of it all. It's wishful thinking, but it's understandable. We would like to stand there and to be able to plan, to pace things out, but life does not work that way. No man can be sure whether he may not die this very day, Cicero wrote. He knew life, he knew death, but he didn't really know life to come. Life drenched under the Platzregen, the shower of God, sent to refresh and enliven. But we know it. We know it indeed. We see with a better view of time and history, with a better view of what is at hand here and now, word spoken, word as a declaration of the favor of God, the Favor Dei. It's a simple little phrase for an infinitely complex, infinitely wonderful thing. A rich gift. And as if the rain cloud won't quit, here today again are words fixed to something quite concrete, something to see and receive: bread and wine, Christ's body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Proclamation, not off somewhere else, but here and now. Proclamation, promises. Clouded not by egos, Paul's or ours, but at all costs put forth the word that gives life. That's what we're about. All that is done in this place is done to bring the best to bear in helping to make it rain. The forecast today, the forecast this morning is for rain. In fact, it's been raining here for some time with more to come. How long? I don't know the long-range forecast, but that's not the point. The point is to enjoy it, and the secret is that while we enjoy, God keeps on giving. The point is to get drenched in the day that God has given, a day when salvation reigns. Leave your umbrellas at the door and enjoy the weather. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.